If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I get that?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Uncast the lock.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Unlocked. It's episode 386 of IGN's weekly Xbox show. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. To my right, Destin Legarry.
Bam!
Counterclockwise around the table. Yes, we're back in audio form, so now I have to... I gotta paint the picture for
you. A visual picture.
Miranda Sanchez, hi.
Hello!
And Brandon Tyrell is too lazy to be here. That's really all there is to it.
You know him. Super lazy.
Super lazy guy. No,
He is eyelash deep.
In a major review that is due very, very soon. So he's a little pressed for time. But so are we, actually. It's GDC week, which I love. Mm-hmm. I love GDC week. It's sort of E3 on Xanax. You know, it's just sort of mellower, like, okay. And we get to sleep in our own beds because it's here in San Francisco. But yeah, we get to see a lot of cool game developers and attend some neat panels on just interesting stuff that, you know, maybe we find interesting and pass along to the audience as we report on it.
Such a nice time to learn, too. Like, there's not a lot of opportunities for it to sit down with developers and, like, just learn about their craft and, like, what goes into developing a video game beyond, like, what we do in our basic interviews in IGN First, which are our best times to actually learn about things. But this is at that massive scale of, like, doing these video game postmorts and going into, like, animation details. And it's, like, really geeky, nerdy stuff, and I love it so much.
Yeah.
It's one of the few times where I think, get to go get, like, set loose and just have fun.
Yeah, like, one of the panels I'm going to this week is, it's with Rockstar North, and it's about, like, world building. Like, yeah, I want to hear how the people who I think are arguably the best in the world at that approach it. That'll be, you know, it might not necessarily result in anything sort of newsworthy for the IGN audience, but, yeah, it'll help me understand gaming better, which is which in its own way helps us do our jobs better.
Oh, absolutely. I think having an understanding of that is very helpful when we're trying to critique something, right?
Yeah.
The more you know about it, the better and more informed of opinion you'll have. So
definitely.
Good time for us.
All right. Let's get started with the news. We are a bit short for time because, speaking of panels, Miranda has to get to one.
Google's revealing news right now.
I know. We're missing the rest of the Google keynote where they've unveiled the Stadia thing, this streaming initiative, which... Who knows? Maybe that's what we're all going to be doing in 5 years, there'll barely be an Xbox or a PlayStation. I don't know.
Well, I was watching it, and I'm like, maybe this is what Xbox has been kind of teasing, sort of a similar platform.
I wonder if they have the same capabilities as Google, though. Also, I always have to disclose this. My dad works for Google, so he, like, works on their data centers and stuff, so I get other information and just want to make sure everyone knows that.
He has all the scoops.
Kind of, yeah. He said he's like played it quite a bit, and that it works really, really well.
Don't get fired, Miranda.
They're very much, huh?
Don't get your dad fired.
I don't know. Yeah, no. Well, I mean, it's public now. It's fine. Yeah. And he said that they're very much leaning into their strength, which is their data centers and having this streaming capability. And I think we've seen a lot of these sort of devices pop up before, but they're not Google, right? Like, they don't have those massive data centers out
there
that are, like, powering a billion things.
I mean, you can draw the parallel. It's not, you know, Google focusing on this is not unlike Microsoft as a software company
creating Xbox Live, you know, launching that in 2002. Like, that was playing right into the strength of what Microsoft does really well. And look what happened. It became the de facto industry standard online service for many, many years, certainly on the console side, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think the biggest question definitely comes down to, like, how well does this actually work?
Yeah.
I'm curious if they release a price. Like, obviously we're not in there, so we can't watch and, like, see. So I'm just like, how much is this? Because this would be kind of a cool thing to have, like, if you're on the go and you want to play something. It's, like, weird to say because it's obviously not going to have the saves that you have on any of your other systems.
Right.
So it's, like, this is the maybe the catch-up machine. It's, like, I'm traveling and I want to play this game that I missed if it happens to be on there. And, like, that could be a way to use this. But I think for people like me who have all the other systems, there's not really a reason for me to have this. So it's kind
of... Well, yeah, like, it's going to be interesting to see how this and believe me, I know we're on an Xbox show, but it's sort of the future of our industry. Like,
oh, for sure.
But this and xCloud, you know, will they coexist? Will they not coexist? Will they, you know, how will that sort of shake out in the future? Will they be a thing that gamers need to have both of? Are you going to choose one of those? How will that work? We shall see. But
I'm keeping an eye on the news as we record this, actually. I'll just refresh every, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, see if a price pops up or any other.
Oh, yeah, no, I can call us out for looking at our phones now.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, I just had to Google something.
Oh, all right. So getting started with the news for this week. And by the way, I do want to, now that we're back full time in audio only form, I do want to get back to making this more of an audio show. So I went and searched my computer. My work computer, and I did find an old intro, which you hopefully heard, because that means I both it worked and I remembered to put it in after I edit this. I found an intro and I found an outro, but there's a bumper that I had that I can't find that I would use between segments, like between the intro and the news.
News.
Yeah,
I used to listen to the show, so
I can't find it on my computer. So. Maybe, I don't know if somebody wants to make me one, like just a little of somebody in the, because the people, our audience made the intro and outro too. I wish I don't have the person's name in front of me, but the bumper would need to be like a little, you know, just fun video gamey and like 5 seconds long ideally with a fade in and fade out. That's sort of, those would be the guidelines. If any audio minded folks wanted to take a crack at a between segment bumper for us back here on our newly relaunched audio form. Okay, Turtle Rock. Remember Turtle Rock? The makers of Left 4 Dead. They went on to evolve because Valve ended up taking Left 4 Dead 2 in-house. And Turtle Rock has returned with a game called, let me just make sure I get this right, Back 4, the number 4, Blood. Which, I'm sure that's just a coincidence. I'm sure that's maybe just how they like to name their games. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, in no way an homage to any other property they've worked on.
It's a little bit of an aggressive name as well. I see you.
I mean, I say that in jest, but I will say I'm thrilled to hear this. So Turtle Rock has partnered with Warner Brothers. WB is going to be the publisher on this. It is as you expect from the name, a next-generation cooperative first-person shooter that will be, quote, designed from the ground up as an original premium title and marries the best of what made the co-op zombie shooter so successful with new features and state-of-the-art technology. We get to return to a genre that was born in our studio with over 10 years of additional experience and zombie ideas racked up in our brains, says Chris Ashton, the studio's design director and one of the studio co-founders. I love this.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. I mean, everyone's wanted a new Left 4 Dead for a long time. And this, seemingly, they're running straight at it. They're not trying to, they're not trying to avoid it. They're just going headlong, like, yes, we're going to do this.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's exciting to see them just say, hey, we've had these ideas and we're going to implement them. And of course, a new IP, like build a different kind of universe around it, but it's still zombies, still shooter, still probably going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Left 4 Dead 3, please.
So.
That's all I. That's all
that's
I,
what this is.
This is
it's the closest you're ever going to get,
yeah,
Destin.
Yeah, I know.
You sound disappointed.
I mean, it's not that I'm disappointed. It's that it's always hard to ramble off of a story. It's like, hey, we're making a game. There's going to be zombies in it. I'm like, cool, I guess. Like, there's no visual aspect for me to really bounce.
No, like, okay, well, we don't know what engine. They just say, you know, new technology. Mm-hmm. Will it be Unreal Engine? Will they, you know, pick up, you know, could they do Unity, something else?
Yeah.
That remains to be seen.
I don't mean to sound down on it or anything. Like, great, Turok's making a new, basically, Left 4 Dead game. I can't wait to see it, and I hope it's good when I can actually see it.
Yeah, definitely interested. It's like, can you show us something?
Yeah,
probably
like,
E3, I would imagine.
Yeah, the announcement itself is really weird.
It's on a message board.
Yeah.
This was on a message board.
Like, what?
The Turtle Rock message boards, which I agree is a bit strange, at least by current standards, when we see, you know, Mortal Kombat doing a gameplay reveal via like a massive live event.
Mm-hmm.
and here we go. Just a nice, humble message board announcement.
I'm kind of like, is this... I mean, I guess if you're going to the message board, like, you want your fans, your, like, most hardcore fans, because, like, who uses message boards that much anymore? Let's be real. it's not me. It's been so long. I used to be, like, super big into message boards. Anyway, that aside, I feel like those are the people who are, like, super love Turtle Rock, right? Like, they're there, they're waiting, and that's kind of cool that they did that, but at the same time, it feels like, are you guys, like, not super confident in this? Is it super far away? Like, what? Why? That's so weird.
The why is a fair question. It is. I would suspect now, if they do show this off at E3, which I almost feel like they have to now, if they just went and put this on their message board in March, but it almost has to be on Microsoft's stage, unless WB decides to suddenly do a press conference, which I doubt they will, given that they're going to have shipped Mortal Kombat, which is the biggest thing in their portfolio.
Yeah, this will probably be shown at E3. I don't know what sort of... interest it'll garner. I mean, that's always an interesting thing to consider. Like, WB sometimes does a really, really big loadout, so it'll probably have a space within their booth, hopefully.
Right.
And we can check it out and report back at that point.
If it's there. Mm-hmm. If it really fully exists.
It'll be there.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I would they could throw together a map, you know, if they're using Havoc or whatever. They know that engine well enough. I think they could put something together for E3.
Destin, expert on game development.
I mean, for a vertical
Havoc's
slice.
Havoc's a physics engine, by the way.
Well, whatever platform they're
developing
with.
You'd rather hear it from me than from the audience in the comments.
No. Like, thank you, Ryan.
Dummy, Havoc's a physics engine.
Thank you for the correction. Well, what did they make Left 4 Dead with?
That's actually a really good question. I don't know if it was. I guess it. Well, it was. They made it with Valve, so it was Source. So I guess, that it is Source, but they were the leads on it. And this probably won't be Source, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of other, they could use CryEngine, they could use Unreal.
Yeah, they use CryEngine.
Throw some Havoc in there, throw some CryEngine in there, just whip it up.
I mean, you do see the Havoc name quite a bit when you're like,
I just saw it on the Google conference. That's why it was in my brain.
Hey, it's Havoc physics. They're in all the Halo games. You see that little logo, and anytime you fire up Halo.
So Evolve, which was Turtle Rock's last game, if you remember that, was in the CryEngine. So
that's right. Yeah, thanks for reminding us.
How was that one received?
Evolve.
Well, here's the thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because Evolve was a very good game. We were talking about this in the bullpen here at IGN the other day.
Their Battle Pass ruined it. Easily, their pricing structures were atrocious.
You're right. The microtransaction thing was a disaster.
Yeah.
The beginning of this generation feels like a long time ago now. Mm-hmm. And I guess it kind of was. But the beginning of this generation, a lot of the major first-person shooters that were coming out were foregoing a proper campaign. And then everybody hated that, and I guess developers took the feedback and got their sea legs under them, and we started to see the campaigns come back, and now we're kind of back in that place where that's a thing again. But I feel like my point is to say that Evolve was one of the first of those major new current generation games that came out, and I feel like they bore, and I'm not saying unfairly, but they bore a lot of the brunt of the public's ire of there not being a proper campaign.
To see the fervor of Evolve pre-launch, people were massively stoked for that game.
Yeah.
And then the unfortunate structure of their sales strategy, basically, and just watch it all go down in flames, it's kind of a fascinating story in a depressing way.
Yeah.
But it is just kind of fascinating how it completely 180'd, absolutely unraveled, and that game died.
No, you're right. I mean, we got to play, we played that game so many times before it came out because it's like they brought it here once, there was E3, there was this event, there was that event. Like, I may have played that game more before launch than I've played, than I got the chance to play any game we cover. Like, they brought it out a lot. And I think part of what happened with that game was Evolve was ridiculously fun in those settings where you're in the room with people, where you can just yell at each other and cooperate, and if one is the monster at the end of the table, you yell at that person when they get you. But Evolve really lost something in the translation to being the online experience, where, you know, 99.something% of players weren't playing that game in the same room with each other, and it just wasn't the same. And especially if you weren't playing with a group, if it was randoms, and it's like, it's not that it's a bad game, but it's just like there is an element that was lost with that. So I'm so happy for Turtle Rock, because it seemed like, you know, Evolve was 2014, if memory serves, and or maybe early 2015. Did it get delayed?
Sounds
like
it was the right delayed one, and launched February 2015.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes.
But so that's now 4 years ago. So it's been a minute, and I feel like Turtle Rock kind of, we just didn't hear anything about them for a long time, and maybe they were working on this IP, the new IP here, Back for Blood, or
But it does make more sense that Turok could have something for Back for Blood at E3, considering how many years it's been.
Yeah.
So if this could be like their first show of like, hey, by the way, we're doing this, just so you know, and then they did the full showing at E3.
Right.
Would be nice.
But I think that the last point on this is, besides, again, I am treating this like Left 4 Dead 3, because Turtle Rock is I think from this initial messaging, they're treating it like Left 4 Dead 3.
Yes.
And that makes me excited. Absolutely. And what I'm curious of was, what do you guys think? Like, they've said they're going to add to it, because they have to. Like, there was zero progression in Left 4 Dead 1 or 2, because that wasn't really an expected thing in gaming back then, but they're going to have to bolt on some systems to, you know, with carrots at the end of a stick now, to keep people coming back over and over again to Back for Blood.
Cosmetic progression works really well in a game like Apex Legends. You don't necessarily have to buy anything. I mean, you can. The annual pass system seems to be largely accepted, as long as there's an avenue to progress without monetarily purchasing it. So, like, Fortnite does a really good job of having, here's some stuff you can get. Even if you don't buy anything, you can still progress. But if you want to get the really cool stuff, then you actually purchase the annual pass. And people seem mostly okay with that if it's done properly. So I think that would be one way that fans would get on board without anybody getting upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some people will always get upset, but I think it's a better balance.
For sure.
And I guess the only other thing I would bring up is, you know, is this the kind of game? I mean, I wonder if it will have any kind of campaign, but
no, I bet no. Put my money on the table.
Is it okay for something like this, or is $60 going to work for this, or have the Apex Legends? I know it's not. This isn't a battle royale, but, you know, I wonder if the pricing model will have to evolve along with the gameplay for something like this.
Could be free to play.
Could be.
We don't know. Yeah. I mean, Evolve did go free to play near the end of its life cycle.
Right.
They could have learned a lot from that avenue of.
There have also been a lot of other games out since then that have found the cadence of like what monetizing a free to play game looks like beyond just cosmetics. And there's like a lot of different systems that they can like take inspiration from. So I think hopefully they'll have learned from all of that and like really ingested it and figured out whatever works best for them. I mean, even if you look at like something like Overwatch, that you have to buy the base game, but then there are different cosmetics you can get, but the base game itself isn't like $60 or something.
Right.
Or at least now.
Fair point.
There is a larger conversation we could jump off on into maybe for another show about how the free-to-play genre could be potentially corroding certain types of creativity in the industry, because developers are leaning more in towards repeatable modes as opposed to excellence in storytelling.
Right.
There are games that break the mold. God of War. We're seeing what's up? What else is coming out soon? Sekiro, DMC.
Yeah.
And those games are fantastic. There's still a huge audience for that, and I hope that those continue to thrive.
I mean, most of the DICE award winners from the DICE Summit last month were single player games.
Yeah.
So, Spider-Man.
Yeah. Right?
You know, so it does. So, we're hanging in there. We're, we're doing well. All right. Bethesda has confirmed, we've been talking a lot about E3 on this show already. We talked last week about EA and the fact that EA is not doing a press conference, though they will be at E3 outside of E3. They're having the tailgating party outside of E3, as Brian Altano put it last week. But Bethesda confirms they will be there once again, and they will hold a press conference again. And simply put, thought we'd take a few minutes. What do you guys think they're going to show? What's Bethesda got?
What did they show last year?
So the big thing, well, this is probably the most memorable bit, was they did a little teaser trailer for Starfield, which is Todd Howard's team's next, their new IP that they're working on.
Skyrim.
And then they did the extra teaser, thank you, yeah, for Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah. They also did the big demonstration for Fallout 76. That was like our first time getting a lot of actual information for it.
Right, and Rage 2 as well.
Yes. I predict that they'll actually go back into Fallout 76 and talk about expansions. Like,
you think so?
No.
Yes, I think this is going to be the last time to be like, hey, by the way, we have this coming. I think it'll be super short. It's not going to be long. It's going to be, hey, we have these things coming for those people who really love it. I mean, they're still supporting Elder Scrolls Online. Like, they keep bringing it up at events. They keep trying to get us to go play those.
But Elder Scrolls Online is...
As a footnote, I could see that, Miranda, actually.
Yeah, so it's like based on like what they've done with that and the card game they had. I always forget what it's called.
Is that Legends?
Yeah.
No. Yes.
Gwent? Is it Gwent?
No, that's the Witcher one. No, I think it's Legends.
Yeah,
Elder Scrolls Legends, I believe. Is the card game.
Yeah, I mean, like, they keep bringing up these like other things that I even forget about a lot. Yeah, as someone who loves Bethesda. So I think they will definitely give Fallout 76 some time.
See, we might have to make an In-N-Out Lunch bet, a classic unlocked In-N-Out Lunch bet on this, because I think that well is so poisoned, I don't even think Todd Howard will make a snarky remark about it.
Wow.
I think they're just going to sweep that under the rug and pretend that it never happened.
Hmm. All right. I will take that bet.
All right. Any mention of Fallout 76. So the odds probably tilt in your favor on this one, but I'm still willing to. I just think that's the biggest disaster Bethesda's ever had. I mean,
ever?
Okay, well, there was that one. What was that really bad game? Rogue Warrior? Remember that? Way back?
No, I don't.
Exactly.
Oh.
It was like a 2 out of 10 on IGN. It was or something. Yeah, it was this.
What?
It was back right when Bethesda first started trying to become a publisher in addition to just a developer. They published this game. Yeah, look it up.
I'm writing it down right now.
It was
coming up later.
Very bad. But yeah, that was... Not anywhere.
I remember it's a blue man. He's like a military guy, right?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I can't even tell you.
It's fine.
Get the song.
Yeah.
But
also Doom.
Yeah, I think that's your headliner for this year.
Well, they're talking about it on that Google conference right now a whole lot.
Yes.
They were the game showing off all the tech and everything on the stage. So I would guess that what's it called? Stavia.
Stadia.
Stadia.
As in the new, it's a bunch of stadiums for everyone in the world to congregate in and play video games.
Hmm.
Stadia. I keep thinking Stevia, Strava.
Stevie Nixia.
My running app.
And the name's a little weird. Reminds me of medicine.
Yeah. Don't forget to take your Stadia.
We laugh now, but in a year, this will just like, oh, yeah, I'm playing on my Stadia.
Yeah, that'll be what IGN covers.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
So they have this collaboration. That'll be a large focus, likely, of their conference and potentially something more on whatever the Skyrim thing was and whatever Starfield was.
You mean Elder Scrolls 6, you mean?
That's what I mean. Sorry. Yeah.
I think they're going to hold off on Elder Scrolls.
I agree.
They just want to, like, let us know. Yeah, that's happening. Also, that wasn't there the Skyrim mobile game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Blades.
Blade, thank you. Yeah, that which...
I got one right today.
Which, again, I played that at E3. I didn't like it. I thought it was super boring.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Elder Scrolls, so I don't say that lightly. But it was graphically beautiful, but I thought it was very boring. And I'll give it another shot when it's actually out.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I played it. It's been 9 months since I played that video game, so...
see if it's changed at all. I remember people saying that the phones that they were dimming on it got really, really hot.
Very hot. Very intense GPU action going on in that game for sure. But yeah, I think Doom Eternal is a big focus. Because if you remember, so they at QuakeCon, they gave a big demo, like 2 7-minute demos of the single player, which it looks great. I, as an old school Doom fan, there were a lot of neat little touches to the original Doom 2, which made me super happy. But I think they might show off some of the multiplayer.
Do you think they'll have Stadia on their stage? Do you think they'll be actually playing it?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, if they're maybe a quid pro quo situation. Yeah.
It was such a large portion of this, and the fact that they brought out somebody from id to discuss it, I think that it'll definitely be a part of their conference.
Yeah, may very well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in Doom 2016, the multiplayer was the weak link. You know, everybody loved the campaign, and the multiplayer was kind of regarded as, yeah, it's okay. So I suspect that they're totally reworking multiplayer, and we'll see that at Bethesda's E3.
Seeing we're getting breaking news about Stadia that it's launching in 2019, I would say most definitely we will be seeing it on id stage.
Bethesda stage.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, could happen. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, what else? You kind of look at the rest of the Bethesda portfolio. I think Tango is, it's been two calendar years. It's been a little bit since The Evil Within 2.
Right, right.
So I think it'll kind of go one of two ways. I don't know how Evil Within 2 sold, and it was received pretty well. Lucy O'Brien loves it.
I was going to say, Lucy would be super happy, I'm sure.
But if it did well, I suspect we may very well get an Evil Within 3 announcement, and that could even ship this fall.
That'd be cool.
It'd be if a 2-year turnaround there. Or I wonder if Tango, if they might announce a new IP, tease it, and it would be a game that launches on Scarlet and PS5 next year. Mm-hmm. So I could see that happening as well.
I'd be surprised if we don't see any. Going back to the Elder Scrolls thought, I would be really surprised if they don't show anything at all, because Fallout's not doing great for them. It's supposed to be like Fallout's time, right?
Well,
so I think they'll lean on the Elder Scrolls announcement and show a trailer at the very least that'll give us more to get hyped.
See, I think Miranda's totally right, because they're not working on Elder Scrolls 6. Like, that team is working on Starfield.
Yeah, I think they're going to lean more into Starfield. Maybe the Starfield trailer, like, that would be cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we got that super teasery, just sort of a tone piece trailer last year. And I want to point out, in case, Destin, you haven't actually seen the email or the message. So the save the date announcement for Bethesda's E3.
I don't get those. You get me in, right?
That's true. That's part of my job here.
Yeah.
It is a bunch of Bethesda universe, Bethesda IP characters all standing on a ridge, hand in hand, looking up at the night sky, and they're looking at a literal star field that's forming the letters BE3, their hashtag, in stars.
Yeah.
So that
I don't know, man. I think it's going to be Elder Scrolls still.
Destin's doubling down.
Yeah, doubling down on Elder Scrolls.
There's a dragon in the sky, but they've had a history
of
dragons.
You know what? That's your new name. It's Double Down Destin.
Yeah.
It's
the dragon. They've done that star theme before. I could see it. Yeah.
It just seems like Elder Scrolls is... They just did that to get everybody off their back.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to make
it. We're making it. God. All right.
But we're working on this new IP first, for crying out loud.
Come on, Mom. I'm working on it.
And then I think the other one, I guess two other ones. Remember, it was last year's Bethesda press conference. There was they showed Youngblood, the Wolfenstein standalone expansion with the twin sisters. Haven't seen a word about that since, and it doesn't seem like it's coming out before E3, so I suspect we'll see that again. And then the other one, Arcane. What's Arcane been doing?
On?
I mean, Dishonored 2 was a good little while ago now, and as Alana would tearfully point out, it was an incredible game that just didn't sell, and we would always lament the release dates, the fall release dates for those games. My gut tells me that Dishonored is over and that Arcane's doing a new IP.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that. I really like seeing their IPs and like what their thoughts on those are. So I would be interested in seeing them building out a new world.
Yeah.
As much as I love the Dishonored universe.
Sure. I mean,
I love new IPs, so I'm always did, down for that.
They did two full Dishonoreds. They did the standalone expansion, not this past holiday, but wasn't it the one before? I don't know. I can't even keep track of time anymore.
And then Prey was out in 2017.
Which was a different Arcane team.
Yeah. They're still working on something.
Prey was really interesting, but it was just kind of like,
they had that really neat update, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Bethesda's got plenty of stuff that they can show off. I would expect a good conference from them. They typically have some good stuff to show. Okay, so we're down to about 15 minutes before we've got to shuttle Miranda out of here to get to her appointment. And I want to talk about two quick things. No Man's Sky continues to build and build and build and build, which, and that's sort of the point I wanted to make. I know we talked about this with the next update, but you know, you can say whatever you want about how it was marketed, the state it launched in, but my goodness, has Hello Games just put their heads down, ate their humble pie, and just continued to work and work and work to make No Man's Sky a heck of a game. They've just announced No Man's Sky Beyond, which is a new mega update similar to Next that they're working on. And the first part of that will be a free update, No Man's Sky Online. It'll arrive this summer on all the platforms and contain three major updates rolled into one larger free release, as I said. The first and only currently known component is No Man's Sky Online. Sean Murray himself saying, quote, "No Man's Sky Online includes a radical new social and multiplayer experience which empowers players everywhere in the universe to meet and play together." Now, he isn't calling it a traditional MMO, though it will have, quote, "many recognizable online elements. There's no subscription, no microtransactions, just a free update." But I can't help but tip the old cap to Hello for continuing to build this.
And here's the thing. I think the internet would agree with you. A lot of them are like, you know, No Man's Sky did not launch in a great place, to put it mildly. That's what the internet would say with that level of fervor.
Yeah.
But I am so happy with what No Man's Sky has done since then. And it's to the point where people are also looking at Anthem and they're like, here's what No Man's Sky has managed to do 1 year later. Anthem, can you do the same thing and turn around your game? Because people see the potential there also. And I think there is a hope out there that other companies can, if they have launched in a poor state, turn it around in a year's time.
I mean, we saw it with the Division 1. You know, it was sort of turned south, but then the 1.8 update really, you know, so
bolstered it.
I guess,
and Division 2 is out now, and people are really digging it
so far. Yeah, and I guess it gives me a little glimmer of hope for the state of discourse that we lament a lot of times around here. That you know, if a developer, I mean, something, you're asking money for something, and it launches in a state that's not up to its potential, but you just cited those three examples, Destin, of developers who put their heads down, they put in the time, they put in the work, and you know, you don't see people hating on No Man's Sky anymore. Like the most vocal of the pitchfork and torch mob seems to have, if not necessarily for quote unquote forgiven Hello Games, they've put their pitchfork and torch down.
Yeah, I think after a while, anger dissipates. And when you see somebody really put their heart and soul into correcting a problem and making it better, it's kind of hard to maintain that level of anger that you initially had. Now, I'm not saying launching games in a state like that is okay.
No.
But I am saying it's great to see studios come together and correct those mistakes. I'm not aware
especially
of, like,
when they're free.
Especially when they're free, yeah. Like, I'm not in their world. I don't know what challenges they're dealing with or what pressures that they have. And I'm also not apologizing for them. I'm not trying to be an apologist. Yes, you should launch your games in a better state, but you got to give them credit where credit's due. They did the work. They made it better. and they did it for free for the community. Yeah.
And Anthem seems to be going through that right now. I mean,
they're in the hate phase right now, for sure. The developers are definitely heads down. They've gone mostly quiet on the comms, and it seems like they are course correcting.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's what's happening.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then finally this week, Battlefield 5, the fire. We were talking about this with Apex a couple weeks ago. Firestorm, their Battlefield's Battle Royale, is out on March 25th as a free update. 64-player Battle Royale with the option to play solo or in squads of four. It's on a new map called Halvoy. EA says it's, quote, Battlefield's biggest map ever, roughly 10 times the size of Battlefield 5's Hamada map, and will have, quote, expansive terrain that ranges from snow-covered mountains to open waterfronts and everything in between. I'm really curious to see what the community does with this. Because I just don't know. You know, after Apex, with, you know, get Blackout out there, you got Apex out there, you got PUBG, you know, doing its thing. Like, I'm curious to see how much of a spike you see on on Google Trends for Firestorm.
I say this with no pleasure. I think it comes out, it's people dip their toe in for a week, they check it out, all the influencer sponsorship money to, like, hey, play our game, goes through its thing, and then it kind of dips down into like the second or third tier category on Twitch and such, and interest sort of wanes. And
well, what if it's really good though? See, that's the thing. Like, Apex came out of nowhere and it's great. What if this is great too? Then probably a lesser game gets bumped down the list. I don't know what, you know, that'll be up to the community to decide.
Battlefield 5 is a known quantity. I think people know what to expect with the gameplay. Apex Legends invigorated the genre and introduced new gameplay mechanics, and I don't think Battlefield 5 is going to be able to do that.
I think Apex's tone is also very different from anything. It's like more similar to Fortnite, but without that level of playfulness. And I think that's what some people have gravitated to. I definitely enjoy that, like, the idea is like you're playing in an actual game and like this is supposed to be like a sport, and the characters are really interesting and fun, and there are a lot of the more serious, like, more realistic battle royale already, like PUBG, of course, and then Blackout, and now this. I think with Firestorm, like, having vehicles and having at least solo is probably appealing to some people since Apex doesn't have that. But I don't know. Like, I'm for sure not interested at all. Like, I kind of feel bad, but meh.
Yeah, hey, it is what it is. And the big thing, you know, we talked about this when we were talking about Apex and this a few weeks ago. Battlefield costs money. You know, this is a free update for a game that costs money, whereas Apex is totally free. So that's
no barrier to entry.
Exactly right. So we'll see what happens. But March 25th, if you're a Battlefield fan, you've been waiting for this. March 25th is the date to check out. All right. Loot box, real quick. A listener whose gamer tag is Crook Eye, it's an interesting one, says, why have developers of Xbox games abandoned LAN functionality? In my eyes, especially because of Halo parties, it's one of the main reasons Xbox originally made an impact.
Because the world has the internet and it's much easier to just connect that way. Yep. And also, like, I think we're all kind of in our own little boxes. Like, this is a deeper conversation about social structure currently in the world and how we're all living through Twitter and Facebook and have no anger filters anymore and don't get to see the reactions of other human beings when we say mean things. And LAN parties were a special experience, and they were absolutely fantastic. Why did they stop supporting it? Because people want to be in their own little safe bubble, I think.
My 16th birthday was LAN party.
Nice.
That's awesome.
I
miss LAN parties a lot.
Yeah.
Hanging out with your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have so many fond memories of LAN parties. I'm so old, but when I was a kid, it was so. Well, Diablo 2. I remember when Diablo 2 came out, which was in 2000, it was, you know, there were no flat panel monitors. They were only CRTs, big heavy CRTs. So you had to bring your entire computer, your big heavy desktop, your big heavy CRT monitor, all the cables,
all the
networking gear, and we had to hook up the network. It was like just getting set up was such a hassle compared to now. But yeah, man, it's LAN parties were great, and I agree. Like, they were a great staple of the early Xbox years, but I think most people sort of remember that that are remembering LAN parties fondly with Xbox and Xbox parties.
Yeah,
it was, that was before Xbox Live launched, and yeah, you're right, Destin. It is we have. I don't want to say evolved because I don't know if it's for better or for worse. It may be devolved.
Yeah,
I'm not
just
sure. But
moved beyond it.
Yeah, it's and so the reason developers don't support it is because the percentage of players that would actually use the feature is realistically it's so inconsequentially small that it's just not worth the developer's bandwidth. And I mean, I guess I'm saying that that's my opinion. I'm not a developer who's actually had to make that choice on a project. I don't want to sound like I'm speaking for game developers, but I'm pretty sure that's the answer.
Well, one additional thing, internet speeds have kind of fixed themselves, so
that's
you don't
a good
necessarily
point
need that. You can still have LAN parties. You just bring four consoles and you set them all up and you play together. I saw people doing this for Anthem's launch and they were having a good time together, you know, just hanging out over the weekend playing that game. So these things still happen. It's just using a different infrastructure.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a great point. Thank you, Crookeye. If you want to make a friend on Xbox Live, gamer tag Crookeye.
Throw a LAN party. I'll be there.
Yes. Quickly, unlock block trivia. Poor Brandon doesn't get a shot this week, but I'm going to give this chance to you guys. So I remember this one vividly. I got this one right. We'll see how well. Now, Miranda, this is a test of your Gears fandom right here.
I know. I already feel bad because I don't know it.
I think I know.
We'll give this a try. So Stephen Lamont. Steve, thank you, Stephen, for sending in this the Unlock Block trivia question. Hey, remember the Gears of War meat cube that was shown in a tech demo? Because it is GDC week, and this was shown at GDC. Which Gears game was that meat cube used as a tech demonstration for and thus part of the marketing of? Was that for the original Gears of War? Was it for Gears 2, 3, or Judgment? Do you guys remember the meat cube?
I'm 25% sure I know the answer.
I think I'm the same.
Yes,
yeah.
Same one. Well, who wants to go first?
Destin.
Gears 2. I'm pretty sure it was Gears 2.
Okay, Miranda?
That's what I was going to guess as well.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so everybody's saying Gears 2. You're both correct.
Yeah!
It was Gears of War 2.
I remember it being super weird.
Right, I was like, they wouldn't show it with the first Gears, but the second makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was probably when they'd push that meatiness of it.
Yeah, because they were like, look at our new tech. Here's our...
Yeah, that was like Unreal Engine, I guess,
Havoc
what, 2.5. I love it. Yeah. If you would like to participate out there in the Unlocked audience in either the Loot Box or the Unlocked Block Trivia Challenge, hey, we need good questions for both, so send them in. The email address is unlocked@ign.com. And if you're sending in an Unlocked Block Trivia question, please include 4 multiple choice answers and note the correct one in your email. All right, we're going to get on our way here and get back to our busy GDC week. We'll see what happened with the rest of the Google Stadia announcement. Miranda will get to her panel. I've got probably the highest profile unfiltered guest coming in today that I've ever had, which I'm very excited about. I got to get ready for that. I'm dressed for it, though you can't see me anymore.
You look very nice.
Ryan looks very handsome.
I got to get the tie
very
going,
professional.
The whole thing. That's what I try. Once a month, I try around
a very
here.
Good shade of blue.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Nice.
I did not shave today.
Okay.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan. And I've been plugging Unfiltered in the Bonnie Ross interview. So hopefully by now you've taken me up on that and checked it out. Destin.
Watch me on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheDestinChannel. I have video over there. I play video games. I like them. You can also check me out on Twitter, twitter.com/DestinLegarry. And my Season of the Drifter review should be done today, so you can check out what I think of the second entry into the Destiny 2 Annual Pass. That will be on IGN. I basically don't stop working ever, so I might have a problem that I should probably talk to somebody
about. I saw you were at Disneyland. Yeah. I'll bet you weren't.
Oh, yes. I take breaks.
Yeah, you weren't playing Destiny at Disneyland, I hope.
No, I was not. I was hanging out with my buddy Mike Aransky. We went to Disneyland and my girlfriend playing. Really good time. Really, really good time.
The pictures looked amazing. I was like I was A, happy for you, and B, also super jealous. I was like, I want to be at Disneyland too.
It was really fun. Yeah. All the beignets. They had butterscotch beignets.
Oh, ooh, no.
They were really good.
What? Wait, that over in the cafe, like the New Orleans area, New Orleans Square there?
Yeah, they were like, so we have butterscotch. And I'm like, yes.
What?
Yes, butterscotch and plain, please, both.
So how was it better than the amazing regular ones? or just different?
That's almost blasphemy to claim, but I would say I liked it quite a bit to the point where we got a second batch.
Ooh.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
You get a mint julep while you're over there, too?
We didn't do the mint julep.
I like that. I like
yeah.
Mint julep works best in the summertime, though, when it's super hot.
They had raspberry Dole Whip, though.
That raspberry. So raspberry. That's interesting.
The part behind, they have a new area behind it where they do like buns with meat in them. And then they do, I don't know what they're called, but they also
buns?
Do... Yeah, sure. they also do
meat bread,
raspberry and orange
Dole Whip. See, yeah. over in California Adventure, there's the abominable like snowman, whatever it's called, stand over on the kind of boardwalk area that has the lemon ones.
Ooh,
which I didn't think they were as good as the classic pineapple Dole Whip, but I would give
Raspberry was decent.
That sounds pretty good.
I love raspberry stuff.
Yeah,
decent.
No, I mean, it was great. I'm sorry. It was very good.
Welcome to DisneyCast.
Yeah.
We're excited for the opening of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge this summer. Anyway, Miranda, take us home.
I've never been to Disneyland.
Wait, hold on. You have to go.
Okay, you've got to make a weekend
I've been
of it.
To Disney World, and I've been to Tokyo DisneySea several times.
Oh, all right.
So I've been to a Disney, but I am making plans to go to Disneyland. So this is all very helpful for my research and what I'm going to do when I get there.
Oh, yeah. You got a lot of super fans in the office you can lean on.
Get the Max Pass. It's like $30 extra. They go to any photographer in the place. They'll take amazing photos for you. That's where most of the photos that I was tweeting were from.
Okay.
They go to the mobile app on your phone. You can download them.
Wow.
They look great. You can also Fast Pass on your phone. So you just set an alarm. Wow. My next Fast Pass is up. You hit the next ride you want to get, and you can hit a lot.
Yeah.
There is a big blackout window for the new Star Wars stuff. So be sure you plan in advance.
Maybe we'll go before Star Wars because I love Star Wars, but I don't want to deal with that. It's going to be crazy for years.
So you got to get there before May 31st because that's when Galaxy's Edge opens.
And a lot is
like the castle's covered up right now. So just sort of setting expectations.
It's going to be a whole thing.
Sorry. That's fine. Okay. That works for me. No, less or fewer people will be there, hopefully. Maybe.
I got your Disneyland strats. Hit me up. If you need help.
Well, for not Disneyland things, you can follow me at Havoc Gross. That's Havoc with a K on Twitter and Instagram. I don't know what I've been doing. I've been doing so many things. It's actually hard to keep track of it. So I guess just tune into my social media, see what I've been posting. Definitely have a lot of previews coming up, I'm sure, from this week. We're going to check out some GDC games and then probably cover some panels. I've been working on the Apex Legends guide since season 1 just launched today, so please check that out if you have any questions or if you just want to see what's in the Battle Pass, because I made a very pretty page with all the Battle Pass things, including tips on how to level up faster.
Yeah, so. Everybody inside this building and outside of it appreciates all your hard work that's gone into that guide for the biggest game on the planet right now, Apex Legends.
I think it's my favorite of 2019 so far.
Cool.
So.
I play
constantly.
It's fantastic experience. It's gonna be in the mix come game of the year time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How many times have you won? Probably a few by now, right?
A lot.
Yeah.
But you can't really track it because the stats that you can actually view in your Legends pages are only tracking how many wins you have with a full squad.
Oh.
So if you're in a party, I think is what it does. Is it tracks that or something like that? Because it wasn't this number that I had actually won.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Can't really tell.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We're out of here. This was Unlock 386. Good to be back in the audio room where, we don't even need to clean up. We just show up and be schlubby. And
I'm not wearing pants.
No one knows the difference. All right. For Miranda and Destin, I'm Ryan. This was Unlock 386. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.